Get ready for real time, prime time, big time, show time. It's Edible Honesty time. And in the meantime, get ready for your favorite partner in crime, your host, one of the greatest talkers of all time, the king of Edible Honesty, the eighth wonder of the world, Andrew the Giant.
Hey, hey, my, hot rockin' tomato pie. Let's get down. Let's talk about the ins and outs of the food industry. My name is Andrew. I'm your host, and I am ready to rock, so let's cut right into it, because today we will be readjusting almost everything you thought you knew about food. Ooh, ooh. Now, in our last edible adventure, we saw Andrew the Giant come across a collection of missing files to the United States Supreme Court case known as Nix versus Hedden, otherwise known as the day the Supreme Court turned fruits into vegetables. And we already know how part one of the missing files ended. It ended with someone leaving a hammer and taking the cannolis. And part two is about to start right now. So pass the beer nuts, Hillary, Norman Peterson, and let's get right into today's tasty episode. So now, to be crystal clear, in the year 1893, when Nix versus Hedden was heard in the United States Supreme Court, it was good to be a corrupt politician or judge, just like it was good to be the king, right before the French Revolution, pull. But it was great. No. It was freaking fantastic to be a super duper corrupt politician or judge, just like John Travolta's character, Governor Jack Stanton, in Primary Colors, who seemed to be empathetic and seemed to be a man of the people for the people. However, he's just a politician with dirty secrets and dirty interest in which he puts himself first, way before U.S. citizens, to get wherever he wants to be. And that's super duper rich and super duper powerful. And Governor Jack Stanton, he gets there. He gets elected president by ruthlessly participating in graft and bribery over and over again, rinse and repeat, until all of his political adversaries are completely destroyed. And seriously, it was all just for a bunch of personal financial gain. And of course, a few laughs, but that's what it took to survive in politics in Washington, D.C., especially in the year 1893. Because politicians and judges back then, they unapologetically catered specifically to business interests in exchange for political support and loads and loads and loads of cash, period, exclamation smurf. Ooh, ooh. And the higher someone rose up the political ladder and the judicial ladder, well, it's simply measured how corrupted that individual had become. So, say for example, a judge sitting in the lower court of New York controlled by Tammany Hall and Boss Croker. Well, that judge was definitely corrupt. But a judge sitting on the United States Supreme Court in the year 1893, well, they were super duper corrupt, like Lex Luthor corrupt, or Tony Montana corrupt. And I'm paraphrasing. In this country, you got to make the money first. Then when you get the money, you get the power. Then when you get all the power, then you get Washington, D.C. to do whatever the hell you want, because everyone has a price. Or let's phrase it another way. Everyone picks And so, because of this sick, twisted, mutually corrupt, yet highly profitable relationship that existed between big businesses and politicians and judges back in the year 1893, the rare pieces of legislation that actually did pass and the judicial decisions that were rendered entirely in favor of the big businessmen, just like Tony Montana, and the giant industrialists, just like Lex Luthor, whose unfettered financial support helped create and maintain their careers in the first place. Wash and repeat. And now, as this all relates to Nix versus Hedden, the port of New York was the busiest port in the United States of America. And the United States of America, our government, well, let's just put it like this. They needed every single penny of taxable income that the port of New York could collect from imported goods, because 95% of the United States federal income came directly from import tariffs. So now, when tomatoes appeared before the Supreme Court, and the issue was, can a non-taxable fruit be forced to become a taxable vegetable? Well, then only one question existed, and it was, so just how much taxable tomato cash are we talking about? And the short answer was plenty. So right there, John Nix, he was done. John Nix stood no chance, because the verdict in the United States Supreme Court was already predetermined. In fact, the odds of John Nix winning the actual case in the Supreme Court were 950-1. Because the New York Harbor was the largest cash cow that the United States government had, as it generated the most taxable revenue for the United States of America, and by far. Ooh, ooh. So, why did the tomato cross the road? To boldly go where no tomato has ever gone before? Captain James T. Kirk. So, now, Congress and the court system, they were out to correct the comma of the Tariff Act of 1872 that cost the American government loads of taxable government cash. So when that chance actually appeared again, and the United States government could finally collect tax again on imported fruit, and all thanks to Mr. Hedden, Eddie, who was a frequent flyer as a career defendant in the United States Supreme Court. However, Eddie brilliantly did devise a way to seamlessly turn a non-taxable fruit, a tomato, into a taxable vegetable. So now, I am just curious. Did you ever find Bugs Bunny attractive when he put on a dress and played a girl bunny? No, neither did I. I was just asking. So party on, Wayne. Party on, Garth. And tax all the friggin' tomatoes, because, my friend, you just stepped into the United States Supreme Court. And I'm sorry, Snoopy, no dogs allowed. So, why did the tomato cross the road? Wait, you saw it too? You saw the tomato cross the road. How many tomatoes have to cross the road before the world realizes that tomatoes everywhere are crossing roads because they're fruits? Vegetables don't move. Vegetables don't walk. Fox Mulder. You see, the truth is out there. However, it's really difficult to find. Because every single politician and judge in Washington, D.C., in the year 1893, participated in graft and bribery and bullshit like it was their job. Occupation: Chief Justice of the United States Supreme Court. Ah, a bullshitter. Did you bullshit today? No. Did you try to bullshit today? Yes. And the politicians and the judges back in 1893, why they justified their actions and their participation in political corruption with excuses like, what do you want me to do? Corruption in America is too widespread, especially for a successful politician or a successful judge to resist. Am I right? So give the governor harumph. Harumph. And let's face it, shall we? Turning a non-profitable fruit into a taxable tomato was just too good to resist, especially for all the greedy politicians and judges in Washington, D.C. It was simply irresistible. Robert Palmer, she's so fine. There's no telling where the taxable tomato money went because it's simply irresistible. And the ones who were incorruptible, well, they were the unsuccessful politicians and the unsuccessful judges who said things like, you can't tax the tomato. It's a fruit. And they would end up very, very injured or very, very assassinated, just like President James Garfield, who 4 months into his presidency was fatally shot at the Baltimore and Potomac Railroad Station in Washington, D.C. at 9:30 in the morning on July 2nd, 1881. And all because he wanted to put an end to political graft, bribery, and corruption. You see, hours before getting assassinated, President Garfield had opened the window to the Oval Office and shouted at the top of his lungs, I'm mad as hell, and I can't take it anymore. Now, President James Garfield played the dangerous game of hump or death. And he only had 10 seconds to make up his mind. And let's just say he didn't choose hump. So holy hump or death, Batman. And let's all rise for the Chief Justice of the United States Supreme Court, Hannibal Lecter. Wait, did you just equate the Chief Justice of the United States Supreme Court in the year 1893 to a serial killer who eats his victims? I did. But metaphorically, he murdered millions and millions of tomatoes and forced them to transition into something they were never meant to be. Plus, the United States Supreme Court should definitely not be allowed to dress up and play Jesus, and they should definitely not be allowed to turn fruits into vegetables. However, apparently, in the year 1893, the United States Supreme Court had been bestowed with biblical powers as well, because the power of the United States Supreme Court in 1893 was total and absolute. And John Nix and his imported tomatoes were about to find that out. So why did the tomato cross the road? Well, perhaps the tomato is trying to escape a political culture based on graft and bribery. Has anyone ever thought of that? I mean, really? So, some mega industrialist walks into a bar with a briefcase, and he meets up with the 9 judges of the United States Supreme Court, and then he drops the briefcase, and he pays off the entire United States Supreme Court in the year 1893. And in return, the United States Supreme Court unanimously and legally uphold and enforce a ruling forever transitioning tomatoes from non-taxable fruits into taxable vegetables. So now, how does the United States Supreme Court legally follow up that biblical act of turning fruits into vegetables? Well, I guess they could legally turn cabbage farts into perfume. Shirley, you can't be serious. I'm serious. And stop calling me Shirley. More calling Orson. Come in, Orson. More calling Orson. Come in, Orson. Come in your cabbageness.
Oh, God, Mork, what is that smell?
I'm sorry, your cabbageness. Earthlings call it an SBDCF.
Mork, it's unbearable. I can barely breathe.
What's an SBDCF? Well, your cabbageness, an SBDCF is a silent but deadly cabbage fart, and earthlings say it's precisely what the United States Supreme Court smelled like in the year 1893 when Nix versus Hedden was in session. Shazbot, oh, I'm sorry about that, your cabbageness. That was another SBDCF. I duck and take cover.
Mork, stop.
I'm sorry, sir. Shazbot, I'm sorry, your cabbageness.
Mork,
I wish I could stop. But with cabbage, Shazbot, the more you consume, the more you kaboom. Shazbot, just like a judge sitting on the United States Supreme Court, so holy, silent, but deadly cabbage farts, Batman. And seriously, Mork, what is that ungodly smell and why is it emanating from the United States Supreme Court? So, why did the tomato cross the road? Because a United States Supreme Court judge was chasing it with a deposit slip. So, hear ye, all rise. The United States Supreme Court is now in session. And at this time, in the year 1893, when they call roll in the United States Supreme Court for Nix versus Hedden, the justices sitting on the United States Supreme Court, well, they don't know whether to answer present or not guilty. So that's it. That's a wrap on Nix versus Hedden, the Forgotten Files, part two. And now, my edible honesty friends, we are ready to head into the finale. Get ready for part three of the day. The Supreme Court turned fruits into vegetables, because that's where we're going next. And I can't wait. And I can't wait for you to join. My name is Andrew. I thank you so much for listening. And to all my fans out there in Iceland, I love you. God bless you for listening. And an enormous edible shout out to my favorite farmer on the planet, Goyo, over at JR Organics in Escondido, California. And if you have not ordered one of their CSA boxes yet, and that's community supported agriculture, then you should do so immediately. You can either get a large box or you can get a small box. Either way, what you're getting is reality. You're getting beautiful, edible reality. So order as much as you can, or see them at farmer markets in San Diego or Los Angeles. And an edible shout out to Bert Ward, the best Robin ever. And Bert, you have an outstanding invite to be a guest on Edible Honesty so we can discuss food fit for a superhero. So holy, Bert Ward, Batman. And yeah, I've been getting all your emails. and your comments and thank you and your recipes and keep sending them to info@ediblehonestyyou.com. And do not forget to give us a 5-star rating on Apple Podcast and Podchaser. And no, I'm not signed by any media outlet yet. And History Channel, Food Network, Cooking Channel, Comedy Central, and Cartoon Network. Whoever else, I'm available. So get in contact with me and let's work out a deal. And let's get Edible Honesty what it deserves. A syndicated platform. So get ready to tune in for the next episode for more Edible Honesty. Same edible time, same edible station.